Gillingham, the header and in! Across the line! And Gillingham done it!
Hello and welcome to the Jules Fancast, your podcast for general Jules related chit-chat. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of our latest episode, we want to send our best wishes to our former manager, Justin Edinburgh, who was worryingly taken ill earlier this week. I'm sure, like every other Jules fan, our thoughts are with him and his family at this time, and hopefully, sooner rather than later, we'll hear some positive news about him. But joining me once again is James Hawkins. You all right?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, not too bad. Mouth's on fire from a spicy lemon and herb Nando's, but apart from that, I'm fine.
Ridiculous.
And also with us tonight, he's back, fresh from his first year at Wembley.
Yeah.
Josh Keeper-Wells, you alright?
Yeah, I'm well, thank you very
Successful
much.
Successful first year of uni?
It was alright. It was all worth it to come home and see you divulged at Nando's.
Oh, don't start. Don't start. It was genuinely spicy.
Lemon and herb.
Spicy. Anyhow. We'll move on to the actual talking points we've got for this podcast. On Tuesday, the three of us were at Priestfield for the Q&A session with the new management team, Steve Evans and Paul Rayner. So we'll be discussing all the important info and talking points to come out of the evening. And we also had a really good response to the tweet I put out on social media regarding meeting Jules fans in unusual scenarios or places. So within the next half hour or so, we'll go through some of those as well. So yeah, James, Josh, we'll get straight into it with the Q&A session earlier in the week. First of all, probably the biggest thing to come out of it was Steve Evans unveiled another new signing.
Yeah.
In Jack Bonham, obviously a goalkeeper. Start with you first, Josh. Happy with the signing?
Very, very, very happy with the signing. Fourth most clean sheets in the league last season, wasn't it?
Yes, 15 clean sheets in 40 games.
Let's face it, a bang average Bristol Rovers.
Well, yeah, they were battling relegation for much of the season.
Yeah, they had a similar season to us, I think, and were bailed out on many times by Clark Harris. Is that his name?
Yeah, the striker. Clark Harris. As we saw.
Yeah. We managed to witness that. But yeah, really, really happy. In the two games against us, he made some superb saves. And obviously the stats don't lie. He's obviously done a very, very good job. And the Bristol Rovers fans I've spoken to have only had good things to say. So a positive sign-in and hopefully a step in the right direction for the season coming up.
Yeah, James, obviously with the news of Thomas Hoadley leaving the football club to go to Ipswich, we all knew that there was going to be a new goalkeeper coming in, at least one. We'd probably expect another one will come in some form during the summer, whether that be another sort of name known at this level, whether it be a younger one to play second fiddle to Bonham. But yeah, on paper, you think a good signing as well?
Yeah, very good, very good. And if that's the sort of quality Evans is going to bring in, then keep it coming. I was impressed with him when Bristol Rovers come down. I think he made some really good saves that night, and stands at 6'4", so that's a good height as well.
Oh, he's a dwarf compared to Holy.
Well, yeah, but let's just hope he doesn't find row Z of the midway stand every time he kicks it.
Well,
not only that as well, he's a really good age for a goalkeeper at this level, do you know what I mean? And it's quite young. What's it, 25?
25,
something like
but he's not actually overly experienced, is he? Because he spent a lot of time as a number two at Brentford, so wasn't playing an awful lot. I think he's had loan spells at Carlisle.
One player of the year there, as Evan said.
And I think last season was possibly maybe his first season of actually playing it pretty much every single game. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure that probably means that there's still improvement to come from him. So, considering, like you say, Josh, from what I've seen from Bristol Rovers fans, they thought he was going to be signing for him.
Yeah.
So they seem really disappointed that it seems like Evans has stolen him from under their noses.
It's good, though, because it means that Evans is selling the football club to want players to come here, and stealing him from other League One sides is only a good thing. And We're not. I wouldn't say we weren't a million miles off Bristol Rovers last year, but Evans has just made it from the way he sold the club to Bonham that we are going to be a million miles off Bristol Rovers next season, and it's good, isn't it? He's obviously making players feel welcome.
It would have been very, very easy for him to just go back to Bristol Rovers.
Yeah.
So easy for him. obviously knows the players, knows the management, and to be fair, logically, would have been the easier thing to do.
Yeah.
And as he said in his interview with the club, Evans, and as you said, James, has sold him the club to him, which I don't think we've done in the last few years, to be fair. We've not really been able to beat the likes of Bristol Rovers to sign-ins, which no. we should be able to do, and obviously...
We haven't really been looking at that type of signing for a year.
And do you think that is solely the Evans factor, possibly the idea that generally Steve Evans' teams, whoever he's in charge of, are generally in and around that top six of the table?
I think so.
So when players are approached by him, they have a rough idea that they're going to be part of a squad that's going to be trying to compete at the right end of the table.
That's the thing, his record, whether you like him or not, his record speaks for himself. And he's got out of this league before, and if people want to progress their career, they're gonna look at the club first and foremost, and then secondly, who's in charge? Well, there's a manager there that has got out of this league before. Have I probably got a chance again? Yeah. It helps, doesn't it, bringing in that better quality that obviously previous managers have not really had that chance to do, because had it been a previous manager and gone in for Bonham probably would have picked Bristol Rovers, and that's probably the difference.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you both. I'll come to you first, James, on this one. So obviously we was there on Tuesday night. I want you to give me something that you personally found interesting, whether it was a comment Evans made or something he suggested about how he wants to go about this season. Something that you thought, that's quite an interesting thing to say.
I think Rob
McCaffrey.
Yeah, so he asked Steve Evans what were his aims for next season. And the first words that come out of his mouth was to make the playoffs. And as soon as he said that, I just felt the excitement go through me of, we finally got a manager that shows some sort of ambition. About time.
And the thing is with Evans, with his past and what he's achieved in the game, you know it's not just him saying that for the sake of it to try and keep people happy. He generally comes here believing that resources he's given, he can turn us into something.
And the thing is, that can only give confidence to the players. It then excites the fans. And once he'd said that, I think he said that right at the start of the night, and I just was glued to listening to him, because it instantly caught my attention of what was he going to say next? What did he have up his sleeve? And he will excite people. That's the thing, is that because he's on our side now, we'll probably love him. And I wanted him anyway. I think all three of us did.
Yeah.
That's the thing. But, yeah, like, in answer to your question, Reese, that comment of to make the playoffs was so refreshing to hear, instead of management going, let's get to 50 points. Mm. Let's stay up. Or let's stay up and see where it takes us. He's like, no. Playoffs. We're going for the playoffs. About time. It gets people in. It gets fans in. And, yeah, it certainly excited me.
Yeah, Josh.
I really liked his honesty. His comments on the midfield, especially.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I think we all could have highlighted from last season that the midfield was lacking in something or other, and obviously he's highlighted that. Obviously he mentioned he spoke to three players that, and he's told them he's not going to be part of their plans. So. Everyone's guess is as good as his chance at this point.
Putting two and two together with what he said, you would assume that given the fact we've got quite a few of them anyway, that it probably is going to be three midfield players.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think a lot of... Obviously, it's all guesswork at the moment, but I think a lot of people are saying two of the same names. In Josh Reese and possibly Dean Parrott being two that he may not fancy. But sort of in terms of a third one... quite a few names have been mentioned. Some have said Burns, some have said Garmston, some have said Riley, some have said Oldacre.
Yeah.
So you would have thought, we'll find out soon, that maybe it will come out that three have been transfer listed or something. You'd like to think we'll soon find out.
There's real no point in guessing, is there? Because no one knows. No one knows. I mean, the two names that you said, Parrott and Reese, I think nailed on to happen.
Yeah, I can imagine Josh Rees is an 100% nailed on to probably never wear a Gillingham shirt ever again.
And do you know what? I'll probably differ slightly in terms of you two in view to that, because in the games that Rees did play, I think he done an okay job.
He did okay. I just don't think he's a Steve Evans player.
Yeah.
No.
I agree. I think he did an okay job. I don't think he's good enough. For a team that wants to push for the playoffs, he isn't good enough.
I think he'd be an okay squad player, but I agree with you. I don't think he'd be a Steve Evans player.
No.
Especially if what the club, what sort of Evans and Scully are saying, is that the budget is the same as last season. Evans may think that he is going to need to get a couple out to give himself a little bit more leeway, in which case if he's got two options of the table, one's keeping Josh Rees or getting rid of him and bringing someone else better in, then we'll just have to back his judgment on it.
Evans has my absolute full trust, and I like Rees, and if he sells him, fair enough, trust him. So it's Evans' call, as we know, and whatever decision he makes, I'm happy with. But if Rees did end up staying, I'd also be equally as happy. I think it was a slow transitional season for him into League One, but you're going to get that from the level he come from. And like I said, I don't think he'd be a bad squad player, but obviously Parrott suffered quite a lot of injuries, and we knew that before he came here, that he's a big injury-prone player. He showed glimpses of really good quality, like especially Scunthorpe away. But other than that, a little bit off the pace, and struggled to get himself back fit a lot of the time as well.
Yeah, I think the midfield point's an interesting one, because he said himself, didn't he, that obviously at the start of last season he was Peterborough manager, and obviously they come down to our place, and he said that he told his team that he looked at us and went straight away, said you can play through their midfield.
Yeah.
And to be honest, sitting from the stands all season, he's pretty much nailed what a large part of our problems were last season. He said himself that watching our games towards the back end of the season, he felt sorry for the two centre-halves, that there was no protection for them.
But was that down to the quality that was playing in there, or was that down to the way they were set up?
Or was it a mixture of both?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. But no doubt about it, I think we may well see three or four fresh midfielders come into this.
I would probably go as far as saying that I would not be surprised that the opening day midfield next season are four brand new faces. Would not be surprised.
He's talking about playing with wide players as well, isn't he? Which means that if, say, he plays a 4-4-2, for example, there's only going to be two spots in the centre midfield, which in that case would mean that we've got too many centre midfielders.
Yeah.
And so it would make sense that a couple will end up leaving the football club. But what I took from the Q&A, the thing I found interesting was when I think someone stood up and asked him about leaders, and he said that, I think it was Tuesday, he said that he had Zakuani in his office with him just having a chat, and he asked him what the difference was between our side and the Peterborough side that he was in a few years ago, which apparently was a really good team under Darren Ferguson,
Gavin Tomlin, etc.
And he said that the difference was that at Peterborough the winning mentality was such that every defeat was sort of a bit of a disaster at the time, and they had to recover from it, whereas at Gillingham, if we win two games, if we then go and lose one and play poorly, it's like it doesn't matter because we won 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
It's like we'll use previous performances to try and justify a poor one.
Yeah.
Whereas Steve Evans has said that's not how it's going to be here. Whether we've won or lost, once a game's done, that's in the past, it's forgotten in my mind, and my focus is on trying to win the next one.
Yeah.
And that is what I think a large part of our problem has been the last couple of years, is that I just think we have adopted a bit of a loser's mentality. Yeah, I think
I'd agree.
We've accepted defeat too easily.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Whereas I think now, like I keep saying, it's a step out of the comfort zone for the football club, disappointment, but I think that's what we need in order to try and get some sort of winning mentality back.
Definitely.
Like, no footballers should want to lose games. So if they do lose, they shouldn't just brush it under the carpet and you say, oh, we won last week, so it doesn't matter.
Petr Cech came out and said the same thing, didn't he, about Arsenal?
Yeah.
He said, obviously, like Chelsea, every loss was it quiet for days after in training. No one would speak to each other.
Yeah.
And Arsenal was, you win two, lose one, and then everyone would go, oh, it'd be okay, as always, next week.
Yeah.
And I think, like, as Steve said, Zach said the same about here, and it's obviously disappointing here because no sportsman should want to lose. I don't care whether it's cricket, boxing, no one wants to lose. That's the whole point of sport. So yeah, bit of that change is definitely needed, and we've needed a big change like this in the football club for years now. I'm sure you both agree.
That's the thing. As much as it's we also want to see a sort of changes in a positive way in terms of quality of the playing squad. I think a change in mentality is probably equally as important with the state we're in at the moment. We're not in a bad state, but do you know what I mean? The situation we've been in the last 2 or 3 years, sort of flirting with relegation for large parts of the season. I just think that switch in mentality might be just as important as the team players. Either.
I think it's the whole football club.
It probably
is. I think it's the fans, I think it's the staff, I think it's the players. I think the acceptance of the past, well, since Martin Allen, really.
Yeah.
The acceptance of... Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, we're doing all right. We've won 3 out of 5. How many times have you seen it on social media that we've lost a game, but you'll go home and check social media and it'll be, oh yeah, but we've won 3 of the last 5.
Yeah,
so.
Do you know what?
Or how many times, Steve, like under like Lovell last year, was like it was in a press conference or fans were saying it on social media was, yeah, but like, yeah, we've lost today. But like we won 2, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, and it was like, yeah, it's got to be that switch in mentality. And the thing is that if the players can feel it from the stands and can feel it from inside the club that losing mentality is fine and people are wrapping them in cotton wool, then generally they just will accept it. Where I think it's about time that the players harden up a little bit and accept criticism, and people at the club accept criticism, and staff accept criticism when they deserve it. And then it's about time that supporters get behind players when they deserve it, in terms of when we're playing really well. Like last season, the team were playing really well, but there were still negative comments being thrown about. Why? Like, I think it's that acceptance, and it has been for the past, since Martin Allen days, of the club has just got a losing mentality, a weak mentality, and I think it's about time that this football club, fans, players, staff alike, toughen up a little bit and like battle together for games.
So having heard them comments and now looking back at last season, sort of in hindsight, I know last season in terms of league games, our longest run of wins was 2. Do you think that now could be why? Because that kind of mentality was instilled across the 100%. Squad that sort of, if we won 2 in a row, they'd sort of go out on game 3 thinking, well, sort of a freeze hit because we've won the last 2. What happens, happens.
Yeah.
Whereas Steve Evans is a manager who, even if we go and win the first 5 games of the season, for example, game 6, those players will still be bang under pressure to perform.
Yeah.
And that's just... what you get with an experienced manager who's achieved what Evans has in the game.
And the thing is, the way they saw it last year was 2 games. Oh, it's closer to 50. It's closer to 50. The thing is, in the press conferences as well, is that, oh yeah, we're closer to 50. We'll get there. It's closer to 50. Yeah, we've lost this week, but it's closer to 50. No. No, that ain't good enough. And the thing is, it comes with better quality of players. Like you just said, the pressure will be untold next season. Because not only would a starting lineup be full of quality, so would a bench. How many times last season did we look at the starting lineup and go, "Yeah, that's a really good starting lineup." Oh, but the bench are full of kids.
Hmm.
Like, how can we change the game? Like, the thing is, they're probably looking across and going, "Ben Chapman ain't gonna replace me in midfield, is he? Or Bradley Stevens ain't gonna replace me in midfield, is he? And even if he does, he'd be out of the team next week." And that's the thing, is that really competition for places just weren't good enough. And I'm sure. Like Evans said, I'm pretty sure Evans said it Tuesday night, that he wants a squad of 20-21 players that can replace each other. And I think we'll see a top quality squad next year.
And that's kind of how the squad was that year under Allen, wasn't it? Allen was making 4 or 5 changes to the
per
team on a weekly basis, yet we were still winning games because wasn't the biggest squad in the world, but it was a condensed squad of good players quality. On good quality that are matching each other so that you can pull one out, give one a rest, put a new one in, and the levels don't drop.
And we went.
And that's, I think, what Evans will be looking for.
We went a whole season without losing back-to-back games for that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. That reason alone.
Because everyone know their job roles, everyone know their responsibilities.
And like you said, like 2 or 3 minutes ago, about it's not just the players, because we got players in that dressing room that have been part of very, very good teams before. Like Zach Iwane at Peterborough is the perfect example. Yep. You got Fuller, who was part of a brilliant dressing room here when we got promoted via Wembley. You got Mark Byrne, who got promoted at Newport. So we've got players that have been part of good teams before, and they know how that mentality works.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't stem from the players, not necessarily management either, although they do have a large input into it. Like James said, it's definitely the club, and we need a character like Evans to come in and shake things up, just like Martin Allen did. And he is the last manager to come in and really wanted to shake things about and change us as a club. I think we've been too guilty of just appointing Mr. Nice Guy, and we do need Steve Evans really, really badly now.
Like I said to you on the podcast the other day, I think we as a football club thrive as a bit of a nasty sort of outfit that,
yeah,
like, and Evans touched on that, and so did Paul Rayner on Tuesday, that they want to make Priestfield a place that teams do not want to come to.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at the last two seasons, we've had teams like AFC Wimbledon and Shrewsbury and Bristol Rovers come down to our place and just play like a training session round us.
Yeah.
Well, that's not how it should be at Priestfield.
Look at Walsall. They embarrassed us at Priestfield. They're now in League Two.
That's not how I saw Gillingham at Priestfield.
No. And obviously, your point about Walsall, they lost 7 games in a row before that.
Yeah.
Wimbledon, like you said, when they come down, they beat us 1-0. It was not a 1-0 game. They battered us.
How I remember Gills when I was growing up was a physical side.
Yeah.
Weren't afraid to put a tackle in, gave everything, but also had flair players, creative players, players that would want to get you off your seat and were exciting to watch. I still remember it now, coming to my first game and seeing Matty Jarvis, and I thought, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. He is everything that, as a little boy, you want to see.
I was exactly the same.
Like, that's the thing, even in our championship days, Hess and Tyler, how many punch-ups and fights and arguments did he get in? Paul Smith was the same. We were, Guy Butters going back to it, Barry Ashby going back to it. Like, they weren't afraid to fucking stick one in on someone.
Pennick was the same.
Since Allen days, we have been too nice. It's far too nice. We were weak last year. We were weak the year before. And it's that, the word I want to use is acceptance. Acceptance of
just averageness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being okay. Being fine.
I don't think last season's squad is that far off the playoffs. If you get the right mentality and a few extra more players, which obviously we're going to see this summer, do you know what? We weren't too far off. We had a really good goalkeeper.
Level. If you look at Doncaster in sixth place, how much different is their squad from last season compared to us? There's not a lot in the league.
But that's the thing, Josh. You make a really good point there, is that in terms of like the squad quality, you saw it against the top teams.
Yeah, do you know what? It wasn't too bad.
That we went to Luton's and we went to Portsmouth and we did the double over Portsmouth. And we had a pretty decent game against Sunderland. But it was that level of acceptance of, oh, wow, we've just beaten Portsmouth at Fratton Park 2-0. We've gone and played them off the park. I don't think we won for a while after that. Because it was that, oh, yeah, we've beaten Portsmouth.
We just lived off it for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. And that was the thing.
Because, you know, we were so lucky. We had, like I said, we had a really good goalkeeper for the level. and we had, in my opinion, one of the best strikers in the league. Tom, who obviously we're all sort of waiting for the news to come that he'll be playing his trade elsewhere next season, which will be a massive shame, because, you know what, who expected him to come in and score 40 goals in 2 seasons? Definitely not you two.
I would be amazed if one person did.
I still
remember 6 weeks into the season slagging him off, saying this guy is no good.
No.
No good whatsoever.
I still remember putting a tweet out when we signed him going, oh, fuck's he?
I remember defending him on one of the earlier podcasts when Pennock was manager.
Yeah.
I remember defending him, like everyone who was sort of wrote him off before he'd kicked a ball. And I didn't expect him. If he'd got 5 goals in his first season, I'd been happy. because like he scored 4 in League 2, do you know what I mean?
But we found out...
No one expected him to do as well as he
did. With Tom, we found out player of the year, speaking to him though, that sort of a bit of background behind his poor record at Yeovil. Apparently he was really, really badly injured, wasn't he? And he said he was in a wheelchair for quite a long time.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
So that's sort of, he wasn't particularly fit.
No.
If you call being in a wheelchair not particularly fit, then yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh, come on, he's wanting to get more goals. but no, Tom was
class.
His record, speaks for itself. A good professional as well, and
really good guy.
Justifies his move for sure.
Not just on the pitch, off the pitch. I mean, he was absolutely brilliant with us. Obviously, when we had that interview and stuff, and he's stayed in contact with like me especially, said to me at Player of the Year, if you need anything for like university, just let me know.
Yeah.
And like, how often do you get that with footballers? Yeah. Never. Yeah. So like you say, he justifies his move, not just off the field, but on the field. He's been absolutely brilliant for us. And don't think anyone could have asked for more from a striker that got 4 goals in League 2 for Yeovil Town. So.
Well, yeah. But yeah, carrying on with the Q&A thing, someone obviously, as you'd expect, asked Evans about sort of negativity surrounding his appointment, but he said that it's nothing new to him. It's sort of, he's had it at Crawley, he's had it at Leeds, he's had it at Rotherham, had it at Mansfield, where when he's been appointed, there's been a section of fan bases that haven't wanted him. But then he said that in most cases, by the end, he'd won them round. And I suppose that's sort of the right message for him to send out to those doubting him, that is
judge him
on what he's done when he leaves the football club, not before he's managed a game.
Yeah,
well, I think that's the right message to try and send out, isn't it?
And do you know what? People that are judging him before he's managed a game for Gillingham, if they're negative about his record, how? Everywhere he's gone, he's done well. Ignore the speculation about what he's done off the pitch and what he says along the touchline. His record, everywhere he's been, is exceptional. And like I said to you earlier, managers with 40-plus win ratio do not come to Gillingham Football Club very, very often.
Yeah, because I've seen people saying that he failed at Mansfield. He walked away from Mansfield to go to Peterborough with them in third place in League 2. And that's failure, is it?
Apparently so.
That's automatic promotion.
When he left Peterborough, they were fifth.
Yeah.
And then
didn't finish fifth.
He said they won 3 out of 17 games when he left.
There you go. And that is a tough job.
And do you know what I mean?
League, tough job.
Peterborough are the same every year, aren't they?
As Sunderland proved last season, League 2 and League 1, it's the same as the Championship. The EFL as a whole is the same. It's just not just a case of, well, you spent X, Y, Z, you're going to win the league.
No.
These leagues do not work like that. Yeah. They're competitive leagues and they're hard to be successful in. Really hard. I do think people just have to... I do think that it seems like some people are starting to be converted a little bit after Tuesday, which is good.
Yeah.
Which is good, which means he said all the right things. But another thing that I thought was interesting was that one person quite early on in the Q&A said to him, oh, like, are you going to calm down? Like Scully said, you have to and stuff like that. But then towards the end, some guy got a pretty big round of applause for standing up and saying, do not change.
Yeah.
Do not change. He said, and rightly so, he said, we've been used to the last 2 years of watching managers on that touchline at Priestfield stand with their arms folded staring at grass. We don't want to see it. We want to see a bit of animation.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
And I completely agree with that comment.
As long as he does not cross the line.
A bit of energy on the sideline transmits not only to the players, but it transmits to the supporters as well. If they see a manager throwing their arms around, trying to get the team going, the fans then lift it a little bit, don't they? Like I said, it's just a case of not crossing that line.
Yeah.
But I think he said he's a bit like Mourinho with the FA, is that he seems to be partially clamped down on for things that other managers do, but because he's named Steve Evans, he gets longer bans for it.
What was the comment? Because he got a one-match ban in it at Peterborough.
And then the FA
appealed against the FA, didn't they?
Yeah, and then
banned him longer.
The LMA, which is obviously the League Managers Association, who are owned by the FA,
appealed
to the FA.
Yeah.
And banned him for another 3 games. And the only ever manager they've done that to is Jose Mourinho. And they don't like him either.
Brilliant.
So that tells you what type of man we've got.
Like we say, as long as he doesn't cross the line and get us into disciplinary problems, then he can carry on doing what he likes.
He did say, though, that it may not be a massive issue, because I think he said for the last first eight games of Peterborough last season, he sat upstairs
yeah.
and they was doing really well.
So I'd like to see him downstairs running into the Rainham
well,
anymore.
Because he did say that if we do start the season well, obviously with his ban, he may just stay up there. But I don't think he stays up there the whole game. I think he said he sits up there for the first half and then comes
down.
Yeah. But to be honest, I think Paul Rayner's spent more than enough years under Steve Evans that I'm sure a few of the traits have probably rubbed off on him as well.
I'm sure he has, yeah.
Do you know what? Whatever works, I'm fine with him doing.
Yeah.
Whatever works.
Yeah.
Whatever works for you, Steve, you go for it. As long as it works, we are all fine by it.
Yeah, anything else from you two that you want to add regarding the Q&A?
I just felt that...
I felt it was a really well-attended event.
Yeah.
Really well-attended.
The best one so far.
I just felt that walking away from it, I don't think I've ever been excited for a manager ever since I've been supporting the football club. And people might think I'm being a little bit over the top, but it was really, really nice to hear a manager come in and say that this football club should not be where they are at the moment. This football club is bigger than where they are, and this football club deserves to be in the playoffs or challenging for promotion, and he is going to try his utmost best to get us there. And as a fan base, that is all you want to hear. And I walked away from it absolutely loving the guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely loving him. And for me, fans need to get on board and support Steve Evans next year. Fine, he's done what he's done, and some fans will just simply not accept what he's done. But the thing is that under Steve Evans, Gillingham Football Club will be a promotion contender next season without a shadow of a doubt. And for me, he's made me believe for next season so far, so much so that I've put a bet on for us to get in the playoffs next year.
Oh, well, now we're in trouble.
So
we're right the season off now then.
Yeah, I know.
But now we'll move on from the Q&A. Yeah, so a little bit of fun we had on Twitter the other day. where I asked for any sort of unusual scenarios or places where you may have seen or bumped into or met fellow Gills fans. So I'll start off with one from Richard Gransden, who said that he was on a plane back from Corfu, which obviously isn't that strange. A lot of people go to Corfu. But he said that he met two separate fans who weren't even sitting together on the plane, which is quite impressive.
Pretty decent, that.
But we've had a similar experience in February when we was on the way to Barcelona.
Yeah, we did, actually. We were talking about Jill's,
minding
obviously.
Our own business,
we were generally having a chat, and this woman and man, like her, obviously her partner, turned around and went, "Oh, are you Jill's fans?" "Yeah." "Yeah, so are we." And
mad,
just generally started speaking to Jules about us, and yeah, it was very, very odd, wasn't it? Very, very weird.
Yeah, it was it was like, what are the chances? What's in my world?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we've got another one from Richard as well. Oh, he said also at Silverstone, he said he had a flag flying from his tent and someone walked by and started shouting Jills at him. Maybe we'll have to think about that for Spa when we go to the F1.
Taking a flag.
Take a Jills flag. Yeah. And see if anyone finds us.
Yeah.
Michael Johnson says he was at the hotel bar in Cuba. Well, some Jills fans have some nice holidays, that's for sure.
Didn't they?
Said he was wearing a Jills shirt and a woman come up behind him, tapped him on the shoulder and said, "I thought so, me and my husband."
Wonder what you were going to say then.
Luke Naylor said he went to Alton Towers with the school and there was randomly a guy wandering around with a Jills shirt.
What a guy wandering around?
Well, just randomly a bit guy, weird, mate. Well, if he was on his own, maybe that might be a bit strange. Ben Horn said out in Tenerife. There's a lot that are coming from foreign countries that Jills fans are coming into each other.
Henry Collar is.
Someone else has said in the Falkland Islands, which is a really obscure one.
Wow.
The Falkland Islands.
Wow.
Another Formula One related one, Gav Ellis said he was at the Australian Grand Prix.
Nice.
Obviously in Melbourne wearing his Jills shirt and someone shouted Jills at him. He's also said that he's had the same in a hotel in Las Vegas.
Wow.
But what am I doing wrong to not be getting these kind of holidays? We've had another one, someone called Frank. I'm not going to try and pronounce his surname because it's too long-winded for me when I've had a spicy Nando's.
Only when he's had Nando's. any other time, it's fine.
It's the Coke, and that's not cocaine.
Yeah, he said in the Dominican Republic, another exotic location, said he met a Jules fan wearing his shirt with pride in a restaurant. Miles Crozier Universal Studios in Florida. Saw a woman with a Wembley 2009 playoff winners t-shirt on. I think I've still got my one of them, actually. I think I never wore it because it was far too big for me. But I've still got that with pride in the drawer somewhere. Yeah, you mentioned Henry. James obviously helps out with the media at Jill's. He said about a decade ago we were on a family holiday in Dubai, another exotic location. He went to a fish restaurant and there was Paul Scally and Theo Pafitas with their families. Theo Pafitas being ex-Millwall chairman and also Dragon from Dragon's Den. He said that his dad went over and embarrassed us all, naturally, which is quite a good story. It would be interesting to know what that conversation involved with Paul Scally and Theo Pafitas. Liam Batts said down his road in Nuneaton, said he, since he's moved to the Midlands, never seen another Jules fan, so to have one near him, living pretty much on the doorstep, was quite unusual. To be honest, I had that like many, many years ago when I moved into Medway and you was living opposite.
And it all went downhill.
And my life's been a nightmare ever since.
Well, you keep choosing to be around and playing for my football teams and stuff like that, don't you?
Well, actually, you joined my football team as a kid, actually. We're going to be pedantic about it. John Rowland says Reading Festival, there was quite a few. Do you go to music festivals, Josh? I'm not a music festival goer, yeah. So I don't know if that's quite a common thing.
I don't know.
We're not that outgoing, are we?
I've never met a genuine fan at a music festival, ever.
I'm just surprised by how many we've had of experience of Jules fans seeing other people, considering we don't get very big home crowds.
No.
Yeah,
there does seem to be a lot of Jules fans about scattered around the world.
I had an experience in Wembley, actually.
In Wembley? Oh, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah. It was FA Cup final day, obviously Man City had Watford, didn't they?
Yeah.
And my family were coming up for the day, because my stepdad he got free tickets somehow. And my mum and sister were coming up spending the day with me and food, drink, whatever. And I was waiting in Wembley Park Station. I had a Gillingham like polo on, like one of the training tops. And some fella just come up to me and shook my hand. And like, we just started having a conversation about Jules. Like, he was like suiting and booting and stuff on his way to Wembley. I've still got no idea who it was.
John Elliott says that there are quite a few of us living in Windsor. And he thought he'd be the only one. Windsor. Well, it's not too far away.
No.
But still. So I've quite
there's
a few.
Lot up north, isn't there?
Yeah, we have got quite a big northern contingent.
Yeah,
we?
I don't know how, but...
I don't know. Obviously, we do all the away games and stuff. I've got a tweet from you, James, about the story we've mentioned, so I don't need to go over that one. Anthony Pillen, this is an interesting one, says in the rain amend, seeing as they're normally moaning about Jules. That's quite an interesting. He's probably got a point on the last couple of seasons, but let's hope that...
it's all change.
It's going to be a bit more... United eventually under Steve Evans. Gillingham FC Poles has said Thorpe Park, so I think we've had Thorpe Park and Alton Towers. It also says Swanage, famous from that In Between Us episode. Apparently home of a Jules fan as well, by the sounds of it. Alan Spore says Stoke-on-Trent.
Might be the woman that Jade looks for.
Always have to take it below the line. Alan Spore says Stoke-on-Trent, landlord of a pub I walked into was a mate I knew from school. Now, that is a small world.
That is a small world.
To walk into a pub somewhere nowhere near here and someone you know from school's in there.
Yeah, mad.
And I thought it was a small world when I ordered a Domino's once to my house and someone I went to school with delivered it.
Dear, oh dear.
Fair enough.
Considering I went to a grammar school, it don't say too much about how he's got on since.
You don't like him, Reese?
No, he was all right. Just not very sociable, which is a bit rich coming from me, isn't it?
Dear, oh dear. Feel for the kid.
But yeah, I think I haven't missed anyone out. There's quite a few interesting ones, mainly the ones from abroad. Because I don't envisage us on our trips to Barcelona bumping into a Jules fan anytime soon.
We don't wear our Jules stuff out there, though, do we?
No, because normally we're not playing very well at the time, so we just leave it at home.
Yeah.
Whereas if we win some games, maybe we'll wear it next in October.
Good person to ask that question to would have been Jim Case.
I'm sure he's been
to a lot of World Cups and Euros, and obviously he's in Porto now.
Yeah, wasn't he caught on the TV?
He was.
Reacting not very excitedly to Ronaldo's free kick.
He didn't hit him in Eddie.
I don't think he even clapped.
To be honest, I'm like that with most Jules goals, though. You'll justify, James. I'm not the most outward celebrator of goals.
No, and then I'll just grab you and
try and force
shake
me,
him about.
Just try and force me into celebrating goals that I don't.
I remember you did nearly die at MK Dons. Back.
Yes, what? When Josh Wright scored that penalty rebound, and we thought it was a really important point in our fight for survival, and then 60 seconds later we was 3-2
down. I just looked back and somehow
in.
You were behind the row.
Yeah, I still
with your
know
legs
how
up
that
in
happened.
The air.
I still don't know how that happened. Honestly, we've gone on to complete off on a tangent now, but we'll talk about it while we're here. Well, what are the best limbs you've been involved in, Josh?
Best limbs? Wow. Plymouth at home this season. Was it Plymouth at home?
Yeah, we won 3.
You
three
somehow
one?
End
yeah.
up about
that,
6 or 7 rows
was,
down, don't
that
you?
That was ridiculous. We've had quite a few this season. Plymouth this season was ridiculous. I end up 7 rows in front of where I stand. I stand back row in the rain, man.
Yes.
Block four.
I do remember...
I landed on like a woman. I've got no idea how I got there.
Apologies to that woman.
I do remember...
The same.
What?
Cardiff home was exactly the same.
I didn't go to
Cardiff was it. Fantastic for limbs. It was brilliant. I remember like body surfing on someone. It was brilliant.
I suppose we actually had a big crowd in that day as well.
Yeah,
so
but
plenty of bodies to find.
Usually it's obviously away games that are better. Millwall was good when we won 3-0. Swindon away was good when we won 3-1.
That was good.
That was very, very good. I remember seeing you that day.
I still remember though, Bradford away when Cody had scored in our...
I just screamed for about a minute.
And, I somehow fell down 4 rows and cut my arm in the process.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was...
Yeah, I remember that game. That was the game that I knew we was going to go up that season.
Yeah.
Because we got battered that day.
Yeah, we did.
And then we had one chance and McDonald went round their goalkeeper and scored.
I'm not too sure from this day what the goalkeeper was doing.
No, but to be honest with you, I'm not that bothered.
I'm not that bothered either.
But no, I think we've covered everything we need to. I'm sure we'll get together for another podcast next week.
Oh, we haven't mentioned transfer rumours, have we?
Well, yeah, let's talk about that before we finish up. Obviously, there's not loads to go off, but going back to the Q&A again. He did say about potentially having a couple in early next week.
Yeah.
The big name going around at the moment is Kieran Agard. I don't know where it's initially come from or how true it is, because I've seen from... It's a load of nonsense. To he's been seen at the ground.
Yeah,
I've seen it from both ends. I would like it to be true.
Well, if you're looking for a man to replace Tom Eaves, he isn't a bad option. I think he's got 45 goals in the last 2 seasons or something.
I know he got
20, like
24, I think, for MK Dons this season.
He scored 25 under Evans, didn't he?
Yeah, the year they won the playoffs under Evans, he scored 25, 26, I think.
Not going to name who told me, but I know someone that works at the club.
Yeah.
And they said that Kieran Agard was at the ground with his mum, and then obviously went to the training ground as well.
I mean, if that's true, then he's obviously signing.
Be a very, very good
signing.
That
would be a statement.
Being unbelievable.
That would be a statement.
Yeah.
And like you said, when you were... having your lemon and herb. Peterborough signed Mo Isa for, 1.7 million? And he signed 20 goals in League 2.
And the thing is, what is quite interesting is that how often do you see us getting players from teams that have been promoted into our division?
Yeah, never.
And that they want to come to Gillingham.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Because say this does happen, and Monday evening or something, it gets announced that we've signed Kieran Agard. Anyone from outside of Gillingham Football Club, supporters of other teams, will look at it and go, why has he gone there?
Yeah.
Why has he gone from a newly promoted MK Dons to Gillingham, who were bottom half last season?
Yeah.
And we would have to be fair and say that under the previous two managers, Kieran Agard would not be rocking up at Gillingham Football Club.
No. No chance.
Obviously, it is still only rumour.
Yeah.
But it sounds like there's legs in it from... There's been a lot of people going on about
it. It's a rumour that's gaining momentum very, very
and
quickly.
And I spoke to an MK Dons fan a couple of days ago and sort of I said to him that sort of... Because I tweeted about it initially and said I can't see it being true and he replied saying, no, I don't think it will be. But then I spoke to him a couple of days ago and he said that also their end, there's noises that, he's coming here. But I read on one of their forums that apparently he's got a new agent. So maybe Jules has looked at that and thought maybe that's an opportunity to go and try and pounce on him.
Yeah.
And
we've never had that smart thinking before.
Well, no. But
ever.
Maybe it's a CEO. And also a manager that's done plenty of business in his time. Probably. And there's another forward, because he mentioned that he's also hoping to have talks with a forward player at the Toulon tournament when he gets back. No real clue of the name apart from people I think on social media have been looking at the squad list of teams at the tournament and have come up with, I can't remember what
Aaron
his name
Connolly.
Is. Aaron Connolly from Brighton.
Yeah.
I think he's a Republican in Republic of Ireland International. Apparently, wasn't he player of the year in the second Premier League last season?
Two of my friends from university are actually Brighton fans. And that I remember when I first moved up there that they banged on about him quite a lot. And I said, do you know what, I'd probably take him at Jules. And then, fast forward 7 months later, he's actually linked to Jules. I'd definitely take him. He's too good for under-23s football. Luton took a gamble on him. Didn't play too many games with the front line they
had. Collins scoring.
They didn't have to take a gamble on someone like Aaron Connolly. So, yeah, do you know what? Why not? Why not?
Yeah, because didn't he score almost a goal a game in Premier League 2 last season?
Yeah,
if someone's doing that, then surely it's a case that they have got to go out and play men's football.
Yeah.
If they're scoring goals at that rate, at that level, they're not going to develop by staying there.
No.
They've got to go and get some...
Apparently there were a few Bundesliga clubs looking at buying him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Obviously, he was loaned out to Luton. I'm pretty sure Red Bull Leipzig were one of them.
Okay.
So he's obviously a half-decent player.
He's obviously got some sort of high regard in.
Yeah.
I don't know about you two, but apart from them two names, I've not seen others.
No.
In terms of players that have gone, there was a rumour about Luke O'Neill going to Wickham, but I stopped believing that when it said he was on £700 a week here. I don't think that was true, to be honest.
No.
Eves Charlton's the rumour, isn't it?
It is.
To be honest, it would make sense. It's the type of move I could see happening for him. Somewhere like them or Millwall.
He wouldn't have to move. They're a level above us. It makes sense.
Yeah, I could see him going there or Millwall.
Yeah.
And when we played at Charlton, not last in the season before it,
he
was unbelievable. He
was really good that day.
And obviously, you could tell Lee Bowyer was a fan of him because he said before we played them that we were a one-man team. For the most part, he wasn't wrong.
Not really, no. Without his goals between League Two, so.
Yeah, well, 100%.
Yeah, I don't think there's any more at the moment, is there? Obviously, Bingham signed for Bromley. We touched on that the other day. No news on Lacey yet. Who else left?
Hadler,
yeah.
No news on Hadler.
Where do you think Tom will end up, kind of level-wise?
I think National League South.
I think National League South.
I think he'll end up at Maidstone or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
Tunbridge Angels, somewhere like that. Where did he go on loan to? And he was really good.
Gloucester fans
loved him.
Yeah.
That's a fair way away, though.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and obviously he was training with us during that time as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd have thought a National League move isn't out of the question for him.
No, I don't think so.
Did we let anyone else go?
Chapman.
Yeah,
that came out of the blue.
Yeah, a little bit. Because I've seen mixed things. Was he offered a new contract and he turned it down?
I think so.
To be fair.
I don't know, actually. Maybe.
Isn't Ben 22 now?
He's been around it for a while,
really
hasn't he?
He should be pushing in now.
But I'd say the same about Stevenson, and he's just signed a new deal, isn't he?
Yeah, that was surprising.
So
that was surprising, but obviously maybe.
But he had a couple of useful loan spells last season.
Yes.
So hopefully.
Yeah. Well, we'll wrap it up there for today. Hopefully, we'll be able to get another one out next week. Obviously, at the moment, with it being off season, it's very dependent on news as and when it comes out. But if we're to believe what the manager said on Tuesday, we probably will have some news in the next few days. And
the Kieran Agard special next week, boys.
Well, let's hope so. But yeah, until then, keep listening. Any comments, any questions, feel free to put them to us. Well done to those who managed to guess the players right on the little game I put out on Twitter earlier, getting the three players that I missed.
It was hard, right? To get clues off you.
From when we beat Hereford 6-1. Yeah, it was Luke Rooney. It took a long time for someone to get.
Yeah, me included.
But yeah, got there eventually. As ever, thanks for listening. And up the Jules.
Up the Jules.
Up the Jules.